Hey, welcome back to It's Pretty Personal, a podcast all about sharing South Asian stories. Hello, hello, hello. How are we all? Happy Tuesday, or if you're in the UK, happy first day back at work. Honestly, I feel like the bank holiday weekend like flew by and I low-key just need another day. Since nobody asked, I thought I'd tell you what I did. I did some hiking, I saw some friends in the park, and I started the new Marvel TV show called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I binge-watched in one night. No regrets. And I know this is like life-changing information. I also just wanted to say thank you to everyone who listened to last week's episode around dating apps. The feedback was so positive and a few of you said how you really need that episode because many South Asian millennials use dating apps, but no one really talks about it or our experiences with them. So if you haven't checked out that episode, then please do after this one because we share stories about dating apps and our experiences with them. And it's honestly just such a girl chat episode. Like if you want to listen to two girls just chatting about dating and dating apps, like listen to that episode. But today we're going deep and we're having a DMC or deep meaningful chat about forgiveness, self-acceptance, kindness and meditation. I'm joined by Vinita Kaur, a UK creative writer, author and emotional wellness advocate. She began writing at a tender age as an emotional outlet for her experiences of anxiety and depression. As someone that deals with a chronic illness due to a rare condition, self-care is a very important part of her daily life. At the age of 17, she began her first novel, Broken Branches, and the sequel is available to pre-order now called Brimming Bows. The Silver Lining series is a supernatural contemporary fictional romance with the emphasis on gratefulness, love, forgiveness, happiness, and so, so, so much more. I've linked the books down below as well as her social media if you want to check it out. And honestly, I'm so down to support South Asian authors because not going to lie, growing up, I didn't know any. Like I grew up reading Jacqueline Wilson books and I wish that I knew about people like Vinita and all these other South Asian writers. I'm so glad that I was able to actually chat to Vinita for this episode because I kid you not, the amount of wisdom that is dropped in this episode, like, I'm so excited to share this with you. And before we get into the episode, please don't forget to follow this podcast if you're new. Write a 5-star review if you're listening to Apple Podcasts. And also follow me on social medias, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Pretty Personal. So let's get into the episode. Hey, everybody. I have a super special guest today. Her name is Vinita Kaur. Hi, Vinita.
Hi, how are you? And thank you for having me.
No worries. I'm good. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been an interesting week. I've been taking like a nice tech break, just been taking things chill, getting back to things that I love to do. I love to cook as well. So I've just been messing around in the kitchen a lot. So yeah, it's been a good week. I just wanted to say, like, you got like a really good voice in terms of like interviewing, if that makes any sense. Like, you just remind me of one of those people that's just like going like well into an interview and you got that whole talking voice going. So yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. The smile on my face is like really big right now because I'm like, oh my God, that's it. Thank you.
You know, when you put your posts out and I hear you talking, like, I'm like, she's got such a good talking voice for like interviews and stuff.
If anyone wants to hire me to do interviews for people, like, let me know.
Yeah, go get her. She's like got the whole vibe going on. Like it'll be really cool.
Do you know what? I actually really relate to you about like taking a social media break. I don't know why. And I don't think that like we're the only ones. I know quite a lot of people this week have actually been taking social media breaks. And I think it's really important because there's so much going on. I know for me, like sometimes social media can be so overwhelming. I don't know if you feel the same way. Sometimes I feel this pressure to like post in order to be like, oh, I don't want my engagement to drop, or I don't want people to not see my post. And then you're constantly like thinking and thinking and thinking, and it kind of takes the fun out of social media. But then at the same time, I really just needed to focus on my other priorities in my life. So yeah, I think I've been on a social media break this week as well, to be honest.
The thing is with social media, like I think I wrote a post about this a really long time ago. I used to like use social media a little bit when I was younger, when I was 17. And I used to like put tips and things up when I was about 17 years old. And then I realized that, especially in our community as well, people just get social media to stalk other people and to see what the hell they're doing and criticize what they're doing and whatnot. And then as soon as that started happening, I just jumped straight off the whole social media wagon. I used to have Facebook, and I don't know if this was before your time or not, but there was Bebo and MySpace.
Oh my God, I used to love MySpace and Pixo. Do you remember Pixo?
Yes, I do. I used to run a blog as well when I was like 15, 14 years old. And I used to like be an Agni aunt. Do you remember the Agni aunt that you used to get at the back of magazines and stuff? I used to do that type of stuff. Like people used to come to me with their problems and I just used to post it anonymously about their problems. And I stopped it. Like when people started criticizing and making silly remarks and just stalking me, I'm like, do you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. And then the thing is, like, with social media, is literally an addiction. Like, these people that make social media know exactly what they're doing. They want you to stay hooked. They want you to be in the engagement thing. And they want you to, like, constantly be on there talking about your life. The thing is, the more that we get addicted to that, the more that we pull out of our actual present moment, which is actually being in the moment and enjoying life. It's like I was just saying to you, I don't know if I'd said this to you before, I literally took a whole 2-week break and cut off social media. Cut off all technology, like I didn't watch TV for a little while or anything like that. And I've literally just been staying present. And I love to cook and I love to like mess around and I love to like create art. This is the type of stuff that I love to do. And I really encourage people to take social media breaks. You learn a lot about yourself. Don't get me wrong, social media isn't completely negative. There's a lot of negativity about it, but there's also the pros. And that's the fact that it creates connection. Like you meet new people on there. But you have to take it in doses. You have to be aware of what you're doing and how much you're doing it. And I tell you this much, when you take that break, you come back stronger. You come back more aware and you come back more refueled and freshed up.
So you said you've been cooking. Like, what have you been cooking?
I'm a pure plant-based eater. I don't touch meat. I don't touch anything that's processed. So I don't touch freezer foods or anything like that. Obviously, fresh food that I put in the freezer, but I don't touch processed foods. I'm completely vegan, plant-based. So recently I made, like, I wasn't feeling well and I was really feeling just sweet potatoes. So I just chopped that up into chips. I literally dosed it up like with peri peri sauce, masala, like I put everything on there and just like literally just threw everything on there. Got some jalapenos, stuck it on there, olives, like I put it all on there and just stuck it in the grill. And I had that the other day. It was so good. And yesterday I made Chinese soup with like loads and loads of vegetables. I love cooking. Like sometimes it turns out really, really disastrous. And then other times it turns out really, really good. You just got to keep going with it. And in our community as well, like I noticed that our mothers tell us to cook a lot to become good wives. And if we know how to cook, then we've got that perfect credit on our CV. Honestly, that is why I resisted cooking for a really long time. I'm like, I'm not cooking. I'm not going in the kitchen. I'm not making roti. I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. And then literally when lockdown hit, I'm like, do you know what? I actually used to like cooking. It was just the fact that everyone was telling me to cook because I have to know how to cook.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, like you're going to have people coming into the kitchen saying, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you shouldn't do it like this. Or you shouldn't be doing it this way. And just ignore it. Just do it the way you want it. And it may lead to an argument, but you realize that you actually enjoy the process.
Yeah. I think like for me, I was very similar to you, like growing up when someone's like, oh, you should learn to cook. I'm like, out of principle, I'm not cooking because you told me to cook and therefore I'm not doing it. And I was that kid. I was like, if you tell me to do something, I'm like, I'm not doing it because you told me to. So yeah, recently I've gotten really into cooking, but because of like trying to eat clean and stuff, I don't really eat Indian food much. I kind of just end up eating a lot of like veg and like protein and stuff like that. I cook my food myself. It's just when someone says a comment about like, oh, you should learn to make roti, and I'm like, I don't eat roti, so why do I need to learn to make it? And I'm like, I'm not going to make it for you because you should also know how to cook. It's not a female. So, and this really pissed me off. And I was like, I had a rant. You know, when you have a rant, something annoys you, then you have a rant to yourself.
Yeah.
I was literally like writing this rant out. And I was like, it's always the men that tell the girls when you're learning to cook. It's never the females. It's always the men. I'm like, yo, you should also learn how to cook. And the one thing that really annoyed me was the fact that like, if you think the only reason I should cook is to provide for a man, then surely that if a guy is looking for me to cook, I'm also looking for the guy to also cook. Like it's a two-way street. It's, for me personally, I find someone that's dependent so unattractive. So if you can't cook or you can't clean or you can't look after yourself, I wouldn't be with you in the first place because...
Yeah, because you're not looking after yourself. And then that means I have to look after you and I'm not your mother, mate.
Like, thank you. Yes, I'm not your mother. Like, no. So that's the thing, like it's a double-edged sword. Like just because if you're looking for someone to cook and clean, I'm also looking for you to cook and clean. Like it goes both ways. So yeah, that was like the rant that I also had like a few days ago.
I get you. But one thing I'm going to say to you, Indian food is very, very healthy. I make a lot of Indian food and it is one of the healthiest dishes that we can possibly have. The problem is, it's just the way like through time, people have messed up the way that it's been created. I don't know if you go to the shops and you see like a whole aisle in Sainsbury's that is dedicated to Asian food, and they literally just mess up the whole healthiness of it. Fresh food, Indian food that is made in your house is possibly the healthiest thing that we could possibly have. And it's really important. And it's plant-based.
What's like your favorite Indian dish?
My favorite. Oh my gosh. I love my curry. Like, I'm currently learning to try and make it without yogurt in there, because yogurt is not healthy in terms of when we get it from this country. What else do I like? I like my potatoes and mushroom sabji that I make. Do you know what bindi are?
Yeah.
I love bindi. Oh my gosh.
I prefer bindi to aubergine. I don't like the aubergine one.
Oh my
one.
Gosh, no. I love my aloo bangan. I love that.
I prefer bindi to like the bangan. Yeah, I can't with that.
Oh no,
that one.
I love aloo bangan. Like, that is my dish for me. And I proper grill it. I proper like make sure the bangan are like crispy.
Yeah, I think mine's just like yellow dal. I don't know what the actual Indian term for it is, because in my house we just call it yellow dal.
Oh no, I like brown dal.
Oh no. See, I've had like really bad, you know when you have like really weird experiences, like bad experiences with them. So then I thought I've just been put off life. So what is your favorite book?
Oh my gosh. I'm not gonna lie, I've read a lot of books. But my favorite book, so I'm gonna tell you a little story. Like, when I was in hospital, really, really young in hospital, my consultant gave me a book, and he literally said that this will really, really help you. And the book that he gave me was Peter Pan. And from that point, I became obsessed with Peter Pan. And I realized the reason he gave it to me was to remind us to stay young. We're living in a world now where everyone just wants us to grow up really quickly and do as we're told and live for society, rather than actually remembering that we're children and that we have unique traits and unique capabilities and we have imagination. And the imagination that we have is all about our truth, is all about who we're meant to be. So I love Peter Pan. That is definitely one of my favorite books. J.M. Barrie, like, if you don't want to read the book, at least go watch the film. There's like a million films made on Peter Pan, so I'm sure that's one of them will ring out. And another one is definitely Little Women. I love Little Women. I literally loved Beth. I wrote like 10 stories on her as well, just based on her character. When I was going through my depression, Beth was just this character that I just completely related to. And she's just someone that I feel that we need in this world. She's all about kindness, compassion. And then obviously there's the basics, Harry Potter. Everyone loves Harry Potter.
The next question is, what is one thing that you're grateful for today?
This is going to sound so silly, but I'm grateful for my bed. I can't say enough. I changed my mattress the other day and I was so happy. Like, you don't understand.
Aww. Describe your personality in 3 words.
Okay. I'm definitely a thinker. I feel really deeply, so I'm really, really sensitive. I know that's more than 3 words altogether. But I think one last thing is that I'm actually a really quiet person. I like being to myself and I like my quietness.
What is one lesson that you've learned in 2020?
Wow, it's weird because I saw you changing this. Sorry, in Google, I saw you changing the questions. I remember when I saw that and it occurred to me was letting go. So over the past 3 years throughout my healing journey, I've learned to let go of anger. I've learned to let go of sadness. Meditation, like, I will recommend this to anyone. Please meditate. Like, even if you feel you can't do it, I've been meditating since I was 9-10 years old. And I remember I used to resist it so much. But then only 3 years ago did I realize how much meditation does actually help. It helps you to really deeply understand how much you're actually holding onto and how much you actually need to release from your system and your body. I thought I let go of so much pain and so much sadness and so much anger over the past 3 years, but it's really weird. Lockdown taught me how much actually I'm still holding on to. And especially over these 2 weeks, like, I've been taking social media breaks and I realized I really needed it because I'm still holding on to a lot. So 2020 has really taught me to just let go, even people. And if your intuition tells you that they're not right to have in your energy field, let them go. I'm not saying to just cut them out completely and be really bitchy about it, but let go of people kindly. Like, don't think that you're being really, really horrible when you let go of these people. You're doing it for yourself. When you let go, you're able to just come out of your own self. You're able to be yourself. And the more you're yourself, the more you will attract people into your life that are meant to be in your life and will feed you more good energy. So yeah, let go. I know it's hard. Trust me. I know it's really, really, really hard, but you have to do it.
I completely, completely agree. And the final question before we get into the episode is, what do you value the most? This is actually quite a difficult one. I feel like every single time I ask people, everyone's like a bit stuck.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Okay, so that was my answer. So my answer is the fact that I value time by myself a lot, and I value my independence a lot as well. The fact that I can kind of be alone and be happy to be alone, and I don't constantly just need someone to be like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Obviously, sometimes I do, but like for the majority of the part, like I'm kind of glad that I'm not like that. So yeah, I think that's something that I value a lot.
It's good that you like your alone time. I'm going to say that now. It's really good because a lot of people run from that. I'm going to be honest, I value a lot of things, like the basic things like my family and things like that. But one thing that has just occurred to me is that I value my past. A lot of people have a lot of hatred with their past because of all the things that have gone wrong, all the mistakes that they've made and things like that. But one thing I realized is the universe placed me in positions that I didn't want to be in to teach me things. And if I didn't have my past, I wouldn't be right where I am right now, which I now have a better relationship with my family. I have a better relationship with myself. I have a better relationship with the universe. And it's all because of my past.
Oh my God, I really love that. So I want to know a little bit more about you and a little bit deeper. And I remember like when we were talking offline, you were telling me a little bit about your story. And I kind of just wanted like you to kind of share that, yeah, in the lowdown. Do you want to like actually talk a bit more about your story? What makes you you? Sure.
So I will try to keep it as short as possible. Sorry. So I was born with a condition. I spent my early days in hospital. That is where I learned to read and write a lot. At the age of 9, 10, my parents realized that I had depression, and they sent me to a lot of healers, a lot of psychiatrists, a lot of counselors and things, and none of it worked. And then I went through a base of 15, 16 years old where I was with counselors, and again, none of it worked. And God, like, don't get me wrong, the counselors and whatnot are great, but they just ask a lot of repetitive questions and it's not really that deep. During the age of 20, 21, I kind of just went off like on one and decided that, do you know what, forget everyone, forget everything. I'm just going to do my own thing. And I kind of went against everything that culture was telling me to do. So throughout the whole time, I always used to journal. I always used to write. That never stopped for me. Writing has always been my emotional outlet and it's never changed for me. And then at the age of 16, I was sitting in my media class, really, really bored out my brains. And I decided to write this script, ignoring completely everything that the teacher was saying to me. And that script then turned into a novel, which is Broken Branches now. Then I wrote that within a year. Then I wrote the second one during one of the deepest times of my depression. Since then, I've been editing those novels. But 3 years ago, I was made redundant from a job that, though I was thankful for, I wasn't happy in. I'm thankful for the job because I learned a lot whilst I was there. I had a great manager and she taught me about confidence in the working world and how to kind of build connections just for the sake of work. But the truth is, I felt very, very trapped. My creativity was just completely trapped. And I'm a crazy creative person. I can't say enough. Like everything that I do, I seek to be creative. I seek to be free. And creativity is my freedom. And that job, it was a typical corporate job that just kept me trapped into a 9-to-5 way of being. And I hated it. And then the universe just decided to make me redundant. And that was the happiest day of my life. When I was made redundant, I was like, Vinita, you've been put in this position where you can do absolutely anything that you want. What is it that you want to do? And I realized, wait a second, all I've wanted to do my whole entire life is help people. That is all I've ever wanted to do, but I've just never known how to do it. And also, I'm a writer. I've written 2 books. I'm still editing them. Now's the chance to just get them out. And then I realized as well that my mental health at the same time was at its lowest point it has ever been. I was having intrusive thoughts. If I'm to be honest, I was drinking too much as well. I was just very, very depressed and my anxiety was just at its peak. Like I couldn't form relationships. I couldn't talk to people. The relationship with my family was a mess. And then I realized that I really wanted to get help. So what I did, I started to go online, I started to find tools, I started to find psychologists, I was journaling more, I was writing more, I was meditating so much more. For someone that really didn't believe 3 years ago, by the way, I was praying so much. And that is where everything changed. And then a therapist just came into my life. I had people come into my life that were helping me suddenly with personal development and self-reflection. That was when everything just kind of shifted for me.
Wow, like your story is actually so incredible. Like to just hear the ups and downs and the fact that like a lot of times people go into that self-pity victim mode, but the fact that you came out of it on the other side and it made you stronger and you realized that it made you stronger, that's amazing. One thing that I started doing is journaling. And I've never done it. So this is the thing. I am such a rookie to journaling.
The last time I spoke to you, you actually said that you didn't journal.
No. Yeah, I didn't journal because I was like, I know me. And I was like, I'm that sort of person that I would do it for like a week and then I'll forget about it. And then I won't pick it up. But I feel like the last couple of weeks, the more and more I've just been feeling like I'm in a time loop and it's like the same day over and over and over again. Like, I just feel like I'm stuck and I don't feel like I'm progressing. I just feel really stagnant. And it made me feel like, okay, I think I need to journal to A, get my thoughts on paper, but to B, just organize my mind, because I feel like my mind, something, it just rushes. I can't concentrate on one thing. I'll have like this and then I'll be thinking about something else and I'll be thinking about something else. And it's like here, there, everywhere. So, which people say is a good thing, apparently.
One thing I will say is that, firstly, it's really good that you're journaling, and I'm so proud to like hear that, because I remember when you said that, you're like, yeah, I don't really write and I don't do that. So it's good that you're journaling. One thing I would say is that we get stuck up here. And so I don't know if you know about energies. Do you know about energies?
Not really.
Every single human being is born with masculine and feminine energy. And I say every single being, like cats, dogs as well, people, man, woman, we're all born with masculine and feminine energy. And right now, the world that we're living in is very dominated by masculine energy. And masculine energy is all here. It's all in the mind. And we forget that we're human beings and we're creative people as well. We have bodies and we have a heart. And that is what is completely cut off in this world. You were literally just saying you feel like you're stuck in a loop. You're stuck in, what's the word? A routine. You probably have the same routine every single day. That is masculine energy. And feminine energy is meant to flow. You're meant to have spontaneous moments. You're meant to have these things where you just feel like you want to do something. So that is what we need more of. Every single person needs to have a balance of both. So that's where creativity comes in. It's like I said, like social media is very, very masculine. It's very dominated on algorithms and engagement and make sure you do this at this time and, you know, numbers. It's all masculine stuff. That is why I say we need to have that cutoff point. And I decided to cook. Like, that's feminine energy. It's releasing creativity. It's releasing what you feel like doing. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be fun. You need to enjoy it.
Okay, so can you give me some advice to people that are listening who are new to journaling or want to start journaling? What advice would you give to like newbies like us?
I'm not going to lie. I do find this really difficult considering I've been writing since I was like 9 years old. When other people do ask me, I do say to just start with simple things. So in the morning, when you wake up, record your thoughts. And if you can't record your thoughts, just write down 3 things that you're looking forward to in the day. And then when you end the day, write down 3 things that you really liked that happened during the day. It'll put you into a happy mode. Another thing I would say is literally just write down how you're feeling. I always do that. I say to people is write down, how does your mind feel? Like, so literally you just said to me that your mind feels scattered during the day. Write that down. Why does your mind feel scattered? How are you feeling? How does your body feel? Like, try to notice any pains or any stagnancy in your body. So like, if I was to say this right now, my shoulders are killing me. So, you know, just write that down. And another thing is to write down how your emotions feel. You know, how are you feeling? Like, just your emotions. Do you feel sad? Do you feel happy? What has happened during the day that has made you feel that way? But gratefulness really does work for some people. And I really definitely take it down that route as well. So in the morning when you wake up, write down 3 things that you're looking forward to. And then when you go to sleep at night, what 3 things happened during the day that you're really, really grateful for?
I actually love that. I was actually in a massive phase. And I think one of the reasons that I feel like so stuck is because I've actually stopped doing my gratefulness journal. So I kind of like have this book and like at the end of the day, I'll write like 3 things that I'm grateful for the day, but it has to be things that have happened in that day. And I used to love doing that because it just made me feel so present and just happier. And I feel like being grateful, like I know for me, being grateful is a way of just having a more positive outlook in life because I'm being so thankful for the things that I have that people wish they were in the position that I am. And instead of being like, I want this, I want this, I want that, I'm like, I'm just glad that I have these things that people want.
For people that say that they want those things, we need to remind them that it's not bad that they want those things because they are human. But one thing I will say is, yes, to remind yourself of what you do have. But if you do want something, what are you going to do about it? You know, are you just going to sit there and say, I want this and hope that it comes to you? You know, like, what are you going to do about it? If you want something, go get it.
So I know that you said that you started writing your book in a media class when you're 16 years old. I love that, by the way.
Trust me, that's not the tip of it. When I was in my corporate job as well, I would literally go into work at 7 o'clock in the morning, do all my emails and stuff before 9 o'clock, and I would book out a meeting room and write my second novel till about 1 o'clock, my lunchtime, come back 2 to 4, I would literally make it another 2 blocks of meetings or anything that I had to do with work, and then stay in at work till 6:30 and do more of my book. That is how much I hated my job.
I'm glad you got away with that, you know.
And the thing is, I was really quiet and nice to people, so obviously no one suspected anything.
But then what was that process actually like to write a book and have your book published?
I hear loads of people that are saying, like, I want to write a book, I want to write a book. If you want to write a book, just go write it. There's no other way to say it. And the thing is, they're always looking for tips and stuff on how to write a book. When I started writing Broken Branches, I swear on my life, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't have a clue. I just knew that I had something in my brain and I had an idea and I just kind of just let it out. The scariest thing about Broken Branches is that some of the girls in the book, I don't know if you're noticing this, they all have an aspect. Actually, I don't know why you would notice it. You didn't write the book. So I just realized, I'm like Kelsey, for example, she's got this kindness and she's got this compassion in her. That is what I wanted for the world. And then there's Lauren, who's so driven and so kind. Like, if you read the second novel, her whole journey takes another direction. I was just like so excited. I can't explain it. So all these women in this novel, like, they just had aspects of me in them. And I didn't realize that when I was writing that. And then there's Chris, who's so, he's just a typical man in this world who's just doesn't realize what is in front of him. So I'm not saying that all men are like that, by the way, just so it's clear. I didn't realize what I was doing. Like, I was 16, 17. I didn't know what I was doing. And then I didn't realize I wanted to publish it at the time. And then when I was 19, I did actually publish, but it was a massive blunder. It went way, way wrong. And then the editing process was the part that took the most out of me. Broken Branches has gone through at least 18 edits, at least 18 edits. And then the second novel, which I'm happy to say the title of, Brimming Bows, I've not mentioned the title of the second novel to anybody and I've just done it now. When I was editing Brimming Bows, it was at the peak of my depression. It was at the peak of the time where my mental health was a massive mess. And when I was editing it, I was really, really struggling. And then I literally went to so many different psychologists and so many different people. And then I finally found someone who was able to help me. And when I published the book, for some reason, I didn't feel anything. And I know it's because it was the editing part that took the most out of me. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm so proud that I published the novel. And a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, that must have been really scary. The truth is, no, it wasn't scary. And it wasn't scary because of the fact that I know that there's a lot of lessons that have helped people in there. So in terms of what it was like, I was just glad that the responses that I got back from the book, where people were like, it's taught me so much about forgiveness. It's taught me so much about letting go. It's taught me so much about how people can actually be kind. And I didn't realize that a lot of the lessons that were in there were lessons that I actually wanted to bring out in the world. Kindness, compassion, gratefulness. These are things that are needed more in this world. More than anything, it's about listening to yourself.
One of the key themes that you spoke about in your book is forgiveness. And I just wanted to ask, like, what does forgiveness mean to you?
So I say this a lot, and it's an affirmation that I've used whilst editing. I forgive because I deserve to be happy. I let go of this pain because I deserve to be happy. Forgiveness has got nothing to do with the person that's hurt us. It's got everything to do with us. So I don't normally do this, but someone emailed me the other day and he was hurting. He was angry at his father for everything that his father had put him through. And it's not my place to say this to somebody that is struggling with depression and anxiety. So I don't say it, but I put it in my post because it goes out to everyone and it's a typical thing. Let go of that pain. You really have to let go of that pain because the thing is, this universe didn't place us on this planet as angry people. This universe did not place us on this planet as sad, depressed human beings. This universe placed us on this planet with love, cutting out our parents, cutting out the people that we're born with. We have been put on this planet with love. So the more angry we are, the more upset we are. Don't get me wrong, we're allowed to be angry, we're allowed to be sad. You know, these emotions are there to teach us something. So the more we hold on to that anger, the more we end up becoming further and further and further away from that love, from that compassion, from that kindness. And who are we serving when we do that? Trust me, I know. I know. I was angry at everyone. And I'll say this now. I was angry at God for a really long time. Like, I was questioning, why was I born with this condition? Why was I born into this community that wants me to do so much and not let me be? You know, I was so angry. But when you're walking around like a time bomb ready to go off, who are you helping? You're not helping yourself. You're not helping other people around you. So forgiveness is for you so that you can be happy. The more we are in a place of love, kindness and compassion, the more happier we are. This is why I say as well about letting go. If anyone is in your field that is still holding on to that pain, let that go. Let that person go. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. They're on their own journey. But forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is so that you can move on, so that you can come out as your true self. And trust me, like, when I learned to forgive, I learned that I love to cook. So, and there I am, just cooking and being happy. It may seem small, but I didn't know how to tell this guy that you need to let go of the anger that you're holding against your father, because that is what is making all these horrible thoughts in your head. That is what is causing the pain in your chest all the time when you walk around. And do you really deserve to walk around with all that pain inside you? It's not about the other person. It's about you. It's solely for you. And meditation is the key to letting go of all that pain. Oh my gosh, and I was a really angry teenager. I can't say it enough. I would write pages and pages and pages on why I was angry, and then I would rip it up and throw it away.
It's a weird one because it seems like such a simple concept, but I feel like a lot of people do struggle with it. And I think a lot of it comes from like holding grudges. I don't think holding grudges is healthy at all. And I think sometimes it's just easier to forgive and move on because, like you said, it's more for yourself. When you forgive the other person, it's more to be like, cool, I know what you've done. I've acknowledged what you've done. It's cool. It's a weird one because you can forgive but not forget, and then set that boundary for yourself to be like, okay, you did this. Like, it's fine. It's a genuine mistake. Cool. Don't do it again. If someone did it intentionally, you're like, cool, I forgive you, but this is my boundary for you now, kind of thing. I think it's a good way for you to understand your boundaries and what you're okay with and what you're not okay with. Like you said, that you holding on to that is just going to cause resentment, and it's going to harm you more than it's going to harm the other person, because it's going to internally eat you up, because the other person's going to be oblivious to it and just going to go on with his life, but doesn't know that that person's made you feel like that. It's kind of important to just communicate it and just like, I forgive you. Like, sometimes if I've done something wrong to someone else, like, having that I forgive you, it just seems more like closure as well, like in the sense that, okay, cool, like they've accepted what I've done, like I actually am sorry that I did that. It's such a weird one, I don't know. I think learning to forgive, like, I feel like it's a concept that we've all been taught, but I think a lot of people have just like forgotten.
I'm actually going to be really honest. I don't think we've actually been taught forgiveness. We've not. No, we've not been taught forgiveness. Like, think about it, in school, did anyone sit down and teach you about forgiveness? Have your parents ever set you down and talked to you about forgiveness? And it's something that you said that is so key. You need to acknowledge that pain because you're a human being. If you don't acknowledge that pain and process it, it's going to clog up in you. I'm so happy that you said that you need to communicate that pain as well. And making the other person aware of the pain that they've caused you is very important. But whether they want to be made aware of it is completely their choice. And if you think about it, like, I'm going to be really honest, I don't know what your community is like, but the community that I've grown up in, when someone is angry, they go silent. They go completely silent. And it's just like, you know, you've been given a voice, say what's upsetting you. The silent treatment is so dangerous because you are wasting your life away at being angry. And the thing is, the more silent you become, the more your mind is talking. And the more your mind is talking, the more stories it creates. And the more stories creates, the more anger it festers up. So who are you serving when you walk around completely silent, being angry?
I relate to that so much. But the other thing that I want to say, you're a South Asian author. We're actually both from like the same area, which I did not even know until like when we first started talking. I'm like, oh my God, that we're from the same area. But I wanted to talk about Asian representation, especially in the writing community. I think like growing up, this is a very British school thing. I was like, I grew up with like the Biff and Chip books. Do you remember them?
Yes, I do. Like, they still have it in schools, believe it or not. I'm a teacher's assistant as well, and they still have them in school.
Oh my God, I loved those books so much. Is it Biff, Chip and Kip? It was like, it's three
yes.
of them.
Yes, oh my days. Stories that I can tell you about that dog as well. Oh my days.
Yeah, so I remember I grew up with like Jacqueline Wilson books and Biff, Chip and Kip.
Do you remember Elmo as well by any chance?
Elmo as in...
Elmo the elephant. In school, that is where my obsession, just for school, outside of Peter Pan, that is where my obsession with reading came in. Like, I would steal the books from school and not give them back because I related to Elmo so much. Like,
see, there was a colourful elephant. I remember that.
Yeah, that's Elmo the
elephant.
Oh, my God,
the colourful elephant. Oh, my days. Oh, my God. Yeah. So growing up, I always grew up with, like, those kind of books. But being from South Asian descent, like, I never ever felt as though those books really encompassed all of me. For example, and I think a lot of people from ethnic descent do feel the same. Like, there were always like white characters. There was no like South Asian, East Asian, or like even like, for example, like black. There was no people of color in those books. And I always wanted to know, like, as a South Asian author yourself, how can we kind of change that for like the future generations? And why was like your book, for example, catered towards South Asians?
Believe it or not, I related to the books that I grew up with because of the fact that just simply because, like I said, I related to Elmo a lot. But the thing is, I don't know if anyone realises that when we watch a lot of the films that we watch, we relate to them because of the themes in there of love, kindness and compassion. But I completely understand what you're saying when it comes to like coloured people and relating to those situations. If I'm going to be actually really, really honest, I think it's the culture that we're looking for. Does that make sense? We're looking to relate to the culture because the thing is, I don't know if you ever watched something like Friends. We laughed at Friends. But if you think about it, were we in any of the situations that Friends portrayed? Like, be real. We laughed at it. We found it funny. But we were never in those situations. Think about it. When we read the books that we read, do they have any South Asian characters in it? But suddenly we get so attracted to it. We end up reading it. Friends, are they South Asian? The Big Bang Theory, other than Raj, like, are there any South Asian characters? So, like, why do we relate to it? We relate to it because of the foundation of the themes in there. And the thing is, it's so surprising that Asian people don't want to support other Asian people. It really surprises me as well. They don't want to read books and things like that. And I'm like, you're arguing to be represented. You're arguing to be heard. Then you need to kind of branch out of the typical niche mainstream things that are around us. So I just really wanted to show like a different perspective of what is out there.
I actually really agree with that. I think we're definitely like coming into a place where we want more representation of our culture. And I feel like it's not only for us, but it's also for other people that don't understand our culture. Obviously, in like an ideal world, I would love every single culture to be represented because I think a lot of times we're kind of just put into a box and labeled, and like every South Asian person is one, not realizing that South Asian comes from like this India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and India itself has so many different regions and so many different cultures. That's not my point. My point is the fact that, like, for example, if I was only South Asian and all the rest of my friends were white and I was going to tell them that I'm going on a 5-day wedding, they wouldn't be like, why the hell are you going on a 5-day wedding? They'll be like, oh, that's so cool. You got a 5-day wedding. Like, I know why. Like that kind of thing. It kind of just helps not having to constantly explain. And I think growing up for me, like I used to not hide, but I didn't want to say a lot of like my culture because I was just really scared that people won't get it. And then they would judge me for that. And the problem is like, I really do wish that
people... By the way, your wedding's only even last 5 days.
How long did your last?
Ours lasts actually quite a long time.
Oh my God, I think 5 days is long.
5 days is long, but it's only 5 days. Like ours is actually longer. Like, right, okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I love learning about different cultures and I love learning about other people. And I want to know because it's not just a South Asian struggle. It's every person from an ethnic descent struggle trying to explain their culture to someone, thinking that they're not going to get it. So therefore they just hide it. So what you're doing, I think, is amazing and trying to bring that more mainstream and what other authors and other writers, other filmmakers are trying to do to push that kind of culture, to normalize it. I hate the fact that sometimes I was like scared to talk about my culture, which is like the complete opposite now. Like I love talking about my culture. I will literally go on a tangent about my culture now at work, but growing up I didn't, and I wish I did. We need more South Asian writers, and why we need more like South Asian TV programs. And I'm not saying South Asian, like it should be just South Asian. I mean, like all people of color, like just so that we can then normalize their culture, because I think every culture does have a BE in itself.
One thing I do want to say is that one, something that I think a lot of people do not recognize is that we are actually all one. We all come from one place. We are all one. Like I can't say it any other way, but it's just our paths of life are different. And I said this a really long time ago in one of my posts as well about understanding and keeping an open mind and listening to understand. So a really long time ago, I was in a conversation with a guy and he wanted to know about my struggles. And one of my struggles has been my condition and it's been my mental health as well. And he kept swaying the conversation so that I could say something else. And like he kept repeating the question, but not acknowledging what I was saying. So in other words,
so he was not listening to you, he was just listening to respond.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. A lot of people, and it's another post that I was reading the other day. I can't remember where she was from. And I'm going to be really honest, I've never heard of the place that she's from. She was a South Asian person and I've never, ever in my life ever heard of her country or even her background. And I was reading her post and I feel so disrespectful that I don't remember like where she was from. I was just so fascinated by her culture. And she was just talking about how in her culture, people are so interested to know about her hair, but then don't want to hear about the struggles that her culture have been through. It's really interesting. And I think that is what we're struggling with at the moment. People just want all the fun of everything, but they don't want to hear about the struggles. And I noticed it with Broken Branches as well. People wanted to know about all the fun in Broken Branches, but none of the struggles that people have gone through in the culture, which is about, obviously, like, I don't know how far you've got into Kelsey's story, but you realise how much she's actually been repressed in her family. And it's a struggle that a lot of actually South Asian girls go through. Like, it's so small, but it makes a massive difference on the rest of her life and how her life is to be led. It's just basically about the struggles. People want to be heard. A girl the other day, she reached out to me and she was talking about how her parents don't support her in her writing and her English literature. And she's from India and she's quite young and she really, really wants to write. And I was just like, what is stopping you? And that's the thing. People just want to be heard. They want their stories to be heard. And the more we squash that, it comes back to emotions again. Like the more we squash that, the more emotions and anger gets repressed in us. So it's really important that we understand everyone's culture. It's really important that we understand everyone's struggle and we be open to actually listening and understanding, you know, not just ignoring what everyone's saying. Like I found it really rude what that guy was doing to me. It really irritated me. And I was just like, why are you asking me then? Why are you bothering to have a conversation with me? That's why I was just so keen on just getting this book out there. I just wanted people to just recognize people go through struggles regardless of where we're from. We've all had our own problems. We've all had our own struggles and people want to be heard.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree with that. That is actually really, really true. And then to finish off this interview or this conversation more than anything, I thought it'd be really fun to play like this little quick fire game, which I tend to do with like every single guest. So I've got like a bunch of really funny, easy, light-hearted questions that I want to ask you, okay? So the first question is, are you a morning person or a night person?
Night owl. Definitely night owl.
Favourite holiday you've been on?
I've actually been to a lot of places, but I'm actually just going to take it home and say that I love being in India. I'm a village person. I love being in the Bind. I love being around everything natural. It calms me, brings me peace.
It's so weird. Like every single time I go to India, I can go for like a couple of days. But I'm such a city person. Like I love living in London. I just love the busy craziness of a city. Even when I go to India or if I go to like the Bind or like even a quiet place in the UK, I'm like, this is nice for like 4 days. Gotta go back to London now. Like I feel like because I'm like such a constantly doing something person, I can't stay stagnant in like one place.
No, I'm definitely villagey. I think the city, it drives me mad. And it puts pressure on people. You'll be surprised. It puts pressure on people to do things rather than just sit and relax. So, yeah.
One artist that you're currently listening to?
Believe it or not, I actually don't listen to music. My anxiety kind of pushed me away from music. but I'm going back to my roots and listening to a lot of old Punjabi music, like really ancient Punjabi music.
How ancient are we talking?
So I've been listening to obviously Gurdas Mann, but I can't remember their names. They're like music that my dad used to listen to. I really like it. And also I listen to a lot of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan as well.
Oh, I love him.
Also, I listen to obviously my prayers and mantras and things like that in the morning. I think I'm just going to send this out as a tip to people that are struggling with like racing minds. Listen to sound bowl healing. It is so calming. It is so soothing. And it just kind of relaxes you.
Next one is favorite cuisine.
Anything plant-based and vegan, but I like my Chinese food.
Finally, last question. What are some of your favorite South Asian authors? Because I know that like I don't know many and I know there are so many out there. And I would love to support them.
When I went to India, I did go through a phase of picking up some books from some of the writers in India. My uncle, he published his own books as well, and it's all based on Sikhs in Britain and Maharaja Daleep Singh as well. So yeah, go check out those books. And it taught me a lot about my history as well.
I love that. Thank you so much for being on my podcast and being a guest on this episode. I've had so much fun, like just chatting to you.
I was literally just going to say that it was fun just talking to you.
Do you know what? Like, they actually make the best podcast episodes. Like, I love listening to podcast episodes where I really don't know what to expect. And I think this is just one of those episodes because we talk about so much.
And we had like a 20-minute rant about food at the beginning as well.
Exactly. No, I love it. And I'm so glad that I got to connect with you.
I love what you're doing as well. And you have like such a good like aura to like be doing this stuff as well. So like, stay in it, like don't stare away from like this type of stuff. Like I can tell you're really in your own
element.
There you go. That was the word. Like yeah, so keep going at that, like don't stop doing that.
Thank you. And don't stop doing you, because Broken Branches is an amazing book. I'm going to link it in the description if you guys want to buy it. But also, like, being a South Asian writer, like I'm so down to support other South Asian creatives, because like you said, we need to make that platform for ourselves. And we need to start sharing our stories. And that's
it does annoy me. A lot of people are saying like, you know, there's no opportunities for Asian people, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, well, you have to support others. It's really important to keep supporting different people. And I do try to support other Asian people as well, because I know how difficult it is. Like, it's not easy. So it was lovely speaking to you.
You too. I hope you gained as much wisdom as I did. Honestly, talking to Vinita was like going to a therapy session. Like, she just comes out with so much real talk. And I felt so at peace just talking to her. Something that I spoke on social media about last week, well, on Twitter, was how we live in this fast-paced social media-oriented world where a lot of us, including myself, want to grow a brand. For me, it's my podcast. And there is this pressure to like post on social media to grow and to share intimate parts of your life, to make yourself more relatable. And that's all really fair and well. But I also came to the realization that you should never, ever sacrifice your peace and your happiness. And they are so important to us as humans. So we need to protect them. So it's all about kind of finding that balance between what to share and what not to share. But I think for me now, my boundaries have always been, is this going to affect my peace? Anyways, I would love to know your thoughts on this episode. So please tweet me at Pretty Personal, or send me a DM on Instagram, again at Pretty Personal. Or if you're old school, you can always email me at itspertypersonal@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast so that you'll get new episodes in your library every single week, because I release new episodes every single Tuesday. So I guess I'll speak to you guys next week. Take care. Bye.